You're with SBS Radio.
Geraldton elders call for calm after the death of a Yamatji woman shot by Western Australian police. Traditional elders from Bururula march in Sydney to protest against fracking on their country. And Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison says his trip to the US will only strengthen bilateral ties. Geraldton elders are calling for calm after an Aboriginal woman was shot dead by a WA police officer. NITV's Rangi Hirani has the details.
When the family of Miss Clark called the police for help to get the troubled mother to hospital, this was not the outcome they expected.
I rang the police because I didn't say that we thought we were going to get help and for her, you know. We didn't expect this to be like we're doing this here now.
Protesters gathered outside the Geraldton police station for a second time, demanding answers over the death.
If they tasered her, they could have grabbed her.
What happened to that girl walking down that street?
Yeah.
If she had a knife, tasered her. They shoot her.
Family spokesperson Sandy Davis told the ABC that Miss Clark was suffering from poor mental health.
She'd just come out of jail, she'd been in a mental institution, and she only came home a few days ago. She was having difficulty at home with her family last night, and her family called the police to assist them to get her to the hospital. And as a result of that, she was shot dead by a police officer.
At approximately 6:15 on Tuesday night, police were called to a disturbance at a home in the suburb of Kaloo. En route to the residence, they encountered Miss Clark. Eyewitnesses claim she had a knife.
Started with the sirens, heard them, and we were looking out the window, and then we heard a police officer say, "Drop the knife," and "Drop it, drop it, drop it," and then bang.
At 6:15 p.m, Ms. Clark was transported to Geraldton Regional Hospital, where she later passed away. The police said it has been a traumatic event for all of those involved.
No police officer goes to work with the expectation they'll have to use lethal force in the execution of their duty.
While that officer is on immediate professional leave following the shooting, a 7-year-old boy is now left without his mother. Following the turnout at the police station, there's now been liquor restrictions imposed as tensions across the town heightens. Yari leader and WA Senator Patrick Dodson echoed the questions being asked by the community and says answers must be delivered as soon as possible. He also urged calm and called on the community not to engage in any provocative or retaliatory behaviour. While the Major Crimes Unit investigate Ms Clark's death, a separate internal police investigation will also be conducted. The Corruption and Crimes Commission and the State Coroner will oversee the case. Bangi Hirini, NITV News.
Garwa and Nyanyua community leaders from the Indigenous community of Borolura in the Northern Territory have travelled to Sydney to address tens of thousands of people at the climate strike rally. The Bururula delegation is rallying support behind urgent attempts by many traditional owners and communities across the Northern Territory to stop fracking. The first of many planned fracking operations are just beginning in the NT this month after the NT government lifted a moratorium in 2018. Bururula community leader, Elder Gadrian Hussein, says they want a ban on fracking on their country as well as sustainable development.
Well, the main message is that I'm bringing down to Sydney is that we need a total ban on fracking.
Yeah.
We need a clean environment for our future generation.
Yeah.
We need a sustainable job that can last for a lifetime, not a job that we know that fracking creates a short-term job and a long-term pollution. So, you know, like what I said, we need a sustainable job for a lifetime. We need to unite together because if we don't stand together and fight for what we believe in, we're just going to get tin, you know?
Yeah.
Stamp over.
And the Minister for Indigenous Australians, Ken Wyatt, has addressed the United Nations Human Rights Council in Geneva. Minister Wyatt's trip to Switzerland marks the 12th anniversary of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. In his address, Minister Wyatt focused on the importance of truth-telling.
Although we've already started walking our journey to change the way we protect and uphold the rights of Indigenous people, we know healing won't actually start until we recognise and acknowledge where our country began.
During this trip, no details were revealed about the government's plans to achieve Indigenous recognition. Prime Minister Scott Morrison says he's looking forward to deepening the bilateral ties Australia has with the United States as he arrived in Washington, D.C. Australia's role in helping America combat Chinese expansion in the Indo-Pacific and Iranian aggression in the Middle East will be high on the agenda when U.S. President Donald Trump hosts Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison at the White House. The visit will include the signing of a memorandum of understanding involving Australia assisting the U.S. to return to the moon and a joint plan on rare earths and critical minerals. Mr. Morrison says Australia is a partner the U.S. can rely on.
There are many larger, I suppose more powerful friends that America has, but they know they do not have a more sure and steadfast friend than Australia. And so I'm looking forward to spending time with our American friends here over the next few days and celebrating our tremendous relationship.
And drought is a major force behind new forecasts projecting the value of Australia's farm production to fall to its lowest level in 4 years. The Bureau of Agriculture and Resource Economics and Sciences says the value of national farm production will fall by 5% to $59 billion this year, with the volume to hit its lowest level since the millennium drought. The Bureau also anticipates net farm incomes will fall by 12% on last year, with export earnings expected to dip to $44 billion. Deputy Nationals leader Bridget McKenzie has told Sky News drought is not just an issue for regional areas.
There's going to be a 5% drop in agricultural production this financial year, and that's going to see a decrease of 11% in our exports. So it's not just our farmers who are going to be doing it tough and their communities, but the drought is impacting our national figures.
And a new report is forecasting that the number of people who will need humanitarian aid due to climate change will increase by almost 50% in a decade and nearly double by 2050. According to the report by the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies, the number of people needing help in 3 decades is forecast to hit 200 million people annually. The group's president, Francesco Rocca, urged governments and aid groups to invest now to prevent suffering.
Our Red Cross and Red Crescent volunteers speak of parched landscapes after recurrent droughts and families' crops, homes and livelihoods washed away by floods and cyclones. I hear of islands, communities under threat, of needless deaths during heat waves in major world cities. We are facing a climate crisis and we are experiencing firsthand what does it mean climate change and its impact on community, especially on the most poor and vulnerable.
And having a look at the weather around the country, Perth, a partly cloudy day and a top of 18. Adelaide, rain easing and 16. Melbourne, partly cloudy and 25. Hobart, mostly sunny, 24. Albury-Wodonga, sunny, 21. Canberra, partly cloudy, 24. Wollongong, similar conditions and 21. Sydney, partly cloudy and 23. Newcastle, similar with a top of 25. Brisbane, partly cloudy, 26. Townsville, partly cloudy day as well and top of 27. Cairns, partly cloudy, 29. Alice Springs, partly cloudy, 30. Darwin, a sunny day ahead, a top of 32. And the Torres Strait Islands, a partly cloudy day and a top of 27. And that is NITV Radio News.
Enjoy more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.